L'Invité de Clark with your host, Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'Invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.
Welcome to L'Invité de Clark. Well, today I have another fascinating story about someone who has arrived from distant shores to enhance our style de vie here in our region, in the Saint Finistère. Daisy Magday is with me today to talk about her story and especially about her work here in our area. We're catching up with her in Châteauneuf-du-Fou. Thank you, Daisy, for coming to see us today. It's a pleasure to have you. Well, it's a pleasure to have you. You have, like I said in the introduction, you have a very interesting story. Now, you came from, when I said a distant shore, a real distant shore. You came from the Philippines.
That's right.
And that must have been quite interesting. Did you live in a city or in the countryside?
In the countryside.
And that must have been what? It's a
countryside. It's a village called Herona Tarlac. And it's a very small village, basically. Mm-hmm. And I lived there for, well, since I was 17, 18, and before I moved to England. But, it's a different type of culture, basically. And I have good memories of my childhood. Because at the time, you know, there was no internet, you know, not many people have disposable income as they do now. So therefore, life was simple. And the neighborhood was very nice, you know. It's good to have that memories. Because now you look at the people in different countries. For example, with me, I live in UK for over 30 years. Now here in France, you know, you got to compare all of that and you say, oh, I'm glad I had good memories when I was a child, you know, so.
Well, you certainly have an interesting comparison to make because I think you told me that back in your day, now you lived on an island, did you? Because there's so many islands in the Philippines, I understand it.
99 islands, and yes, I live in one of them. It's not actually near any of the beach or any sort of water like that, but certainly it's sort of, it reminds me so much when I came here in France, you know, the family culture is much, very much the center of light in the Philippines. And, you know, when I was growing up, we have pigs, you know, we raise pigs, we have poultry, which is a way of our life. My parents has a grocery in the public market, and my grandmother has a restaurant on the same market. So as a child, we were trained at a very young age to help out, you know.
Yeah.
I remember getting up very early, you know, in the morning before we even go to school, you know, to help my grandmother to take all the cooked food in the market. And we have a horse with a carriage, it carry all the food in the market. And we help her set up because we don't have microwave or something like that, and food wasn't heated. So we just have like a display cabinet, and we put the food there. And people that are selling in the market were the customer because they have to have breakfast before they carry on with their trading in the market. So they were the customers. And so we got to know all of them. So, you know, basically they have to come and we literally sit on a table with a chair and we serve them. And we didn't have any cash registry or something like that. We just have this apron. And this apron, you know, you have to put the money in there and change like you would do here in a local markets. So that was the way of life. And I remember I used to help out just really washing dishes because there was no dishwasher.
No.
Even before I go to school. And then after the breakfast is served, I have to go home, change, and then go to school. And then at lunchtime, I have to go back to the market eat my lunch, and then carry on with my chores of washing the dishes before I go back to school in the afternoon. So really from the young age, we were trained to be helpful and to work. You know, it's working team, if you like.
How old were you when you started all that?
Oh, 7. Really? I remember because I went to grade 1 at 6 or 7. This is after kindergarten. And we were working at that age.
Yeah.
I mean, some people might call it, You know, it's probably...
Well, some sort of child labor or something.
I don't think so. I think it's more our way of life, you know, as a family. You cannot afford to get a helper to pay the helper.
Yes, it was an economic decision.
I look at it now that I'm grown up and I look at it as an experience. I'm glad I have that because actually it will help you through your the age you are now, you know, how to appreciate money, how to budget, how to be poor, how to enjoy it when you have something. So now you have some sort of education at early life.
But I think we call them old-fashioned values, but they're still values.
I appreciate that.
even to learn a work ethic, you know, it seems like that's an old-fashioned expression now, but you need it. You know, if you're going to kind of succeed in doing what you want to do in this world, it takes energy, but it takes willpower, and nothing better than to have that early experience and early success too, I'm sure. But you talked about breakfast. What would you have for a typical breakfast?
Oh, we have fried rice. You're going to pick up. We normally cook a lot of rice in the evening. And what the leftover, we fried it with lots of garlic.
Good.
And normally, typically, lots of garlic, fried rice with either egg if you're a bit well off, or dried fish, dried salted fish. That's your breakfast with coffee. We didn't have tea. Yeah, mainly we are coffee drinkers. And that's your breakfast.
Where would they grow the rice? Would the rice be grown on your island or do you have to import it?
No, some are imported in the island, but also because we are all big rice eaters, some are imported. But I think in our area, it's all grown in locally.
Yeah, that's interesting too. Yeah. Were you near the ocean then on where you live?
No, it's not far. We can go within an hour or two in the nearest. So it's not far from it, but we're not like a half an hour or something.
Yeah.
But you have to go on a special trip. I mean, this is one thing that we do. We do go to the beach, but we had we have to join an excursion. Normally, the typical excursion is normally arranged by a family member. So in a village, they would ask people, you know, they have, one of my cousin had a bus, and it's a working bus, but one of the income stream that they do have is to arrange an excursion. So they will ask the local people, you know, we're going to go to this beach on such and such a date, and this is itinerary, and this is the price, and you have to pay in advance.
I see.
So, all of the family goes to this discussion, really just once a year, and we save up for it. And you know what? We go to the beach, but because we have part of the excursion is going to a church, I even have to have a special dress made on that occasion.
All right. Wow, that is a big deal. Sure.
I remember it well because in the Philippines, in the time, we never go to the shop and buy clothes. We have to go to the dressmaker to have dress fitted and everything and then made for you. So that's what the life we have. So, so we have to go to this excursion. We have to cook all the food that we have in a basket, rice and all the meals. Mm-hmm. And we have to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning. This bus has to go in each of the houses and collect all the people the way. First of all, to the church. There was a big, nice church that we used to go to. and it's a tourist one. So we go there first. And then towards the lunchtime, we go to the beach. And then we stay there. And if we have time, depending on where we were going, we have probably go to the park. So that's the excursion that we have literally just once a year.
That's great. For those just tuning in, where I'm interviewing Daisy Magday, originally of the Philippines, and she's telling us some great stories about her upbringing. And we're going to talk about her work here in a little bit, too. But Daisy, I can just kind of see that bus full of people going out to the coast, having a great time. And you say it's once a year. Was that what you said?
Once a year we do that because we have to save up for it. Right? It's not cheap. Well, it's cheap for so many people, but for us in living in the village, it wasn't cheap. It was once in a year, treat, if you like.
And do you come from a big family? I didn't ask you how many were on the bus with you.
We come from, in the Philippines, as you know, you live with in my house, we have my parents, my great-grandmother, my aunt, and all my cousins live at the back. You know, we have a land and we have to share it with them because they didn't have much. So normally that's the typical way of life. When I was younger, this is the typical way of life. I have quite a lot of cousins who unfortunately didn't have very much in life. So what they tend to do is they come to our house, help out with the chores because we have so many things to do. And because my parents were always away, nobody really, they can't really help with the daily chores. So they used to come, they used to say, can we do some ironing? Can we do some washing?
Right.
But we never, ever really treated them as maid as such. You know, we welcome them and we treat them as family. And, you know, as a payment, I don't know whether you call it as a payment. As a return, they got to stay with us, eat. And when they go, we give them a little bit of money, but not much because we didn't have much as well. But mainly food. Rice or something like that because they didn't have anything to eat. Our house is full of cousins every time, you know. It was the center. Good as a child to be surrounded by all of that. So it's interesting, you know, because after having all of that experience and then moving on to UK, I kind of get basically shocked because after suddenly you live on your own and there's no contact. And it was hard at first, but I think eventually, because I was only 17, 18 when I went to England, very much a teenager in Philippine age. Because really in Philippines, even though you're 25, they still think you're a baby in my time. So, therefore, I kind of realized I have to change because I'm now in a different country. So, immediately, you have to switch. And that's what I did. So, I became British in my way of life. Because I have more, I was in England when I was growing up, you know. I kind of more British in my ways than Philippine. If that makes any sense.
It does. I mean, it does. It's you made the adjustment. It's a great big adjustment. Mm-hmm. You're accustomed now to the things that the quote Western world offers, and I can see why that would be the case. We're going to run out of time here pretty quick, but I wanted to ask you about language, because Tagalog is your native language, I think, although you told me at one time that your parents may have spoken even different languages. Is that true?
Yes, we have different dialects. My father spoke Ilocano. My mother spoke Kapampangan. The general language is Tagalog. So as a child, we have to speak three different dialects.
Amazing.
And it's interesting because when, even we live in one household, when I speak to my mother, I still speak in her dialect, which is Pakapantangan. I speak to my father, I speak Ilocano, and when I speak to my brothers and sisters in Tagalog. So yes, we spoke three dialects at a very young age.
So your parents never spoke to each other?
No, they do. When they do, for some reason, some my mother, for example, will speak in Kapampangan, and my father replied in Ilocano, and I was going, what?
Some would say the perfect marriage.
I don't know about that, but they got separated.
So oh, I see. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, that's right. Well, hey, this has been really fun, but I want to keep talking because we haven't even talked about your work, and that's one of the things I really want to cover because it's essential here what you do in the San Finisterre. Daisy, I'm going to ask you if you could stick around. We'll do another broadcast for the following week, but we'll record it now. Would you be able to do that?
Yes.
Let's stay right now if you got time. I'd love to do it. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll be back with part two with Daisy Magday next week.
L'invité de Clark with your host, Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.